Hello, my friends. D.L. Anderson here. Welcome back to Transformation by Truth podcast as we share the truth concerning these last days and what you must do to save yourself from the violent times that are just ahead. Today's podcast is a word of truth accounting of the end times. The end is coming. The end is near. Today's podcast is entitled End Times 408, The Generation of Intentions, Part 3. Why Your First Intention Should Always Be Your Last. The podcast objectives are: analyze the nature of your first intention, analyze the role of your personal congress, and reveal how chaos impacts your personal congress. This lesson contains timelines and other visuals. Therefore, if you are listening to the podcast, I advise you to watch the video version on our website or YouTube, or request a PDF of the lesson so you can add the visual effect. Why Your First Intention Is Your Best Intention. Shalom, my beloved brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 208 of our exposition of lawlessness. In the most recent podcast, we analyzed the three facets of the third level of the intention generation process: enter, feelings, emotions, and experience. At the conclusion of this level, your heart will progress to the next phase in this development. It will generate your first intention, as you can see by the diagram to the right. Now, landing on a first intention is a monumental achievement due to all the adverse and conflicting activities that occur prior to this level in the intention generation process. This achievement speaks to the amazing processing power of your DPU. Remember, unlike your CPU, your DPU must sift through a vast array of input to land on a single intent. This is precisely why your first intention, unlike your first thought, is always your best intention, as opposed to your second thought. Besides the disparate natures of your heart and mind, it is for the following reason, which I will offer as an interest point. Your first intention derives from a balanced analysis of spirit and physics, and thus, seeing as your experiences will tend to reflect the positive outcomes of good decisions you have made in your past, your first intention, more often than not, is formed to hold true to that path. Naturally speaking, we all have historical records of quickly coming to the appropriate intention concerning any matter. This is true even if these records do not reflect our personal experiences, for many of our life lessons were learned by the mistakes of others. No doubt, this is a good strategy for success, and one of the best ways to defeat one of Satan's favorite strategies. That is, if we learn from the mistakes that others have made. Now, let me tell you something, and I ask you to take it to heart. Every time we repeat a mistake that someone else has made, we add our sorrows to theirs. Not only this, but Satan experiences great pleasure, for in this scenario, he is able to compromise multiple persons with one single deception. Now, many of us appreciate this depressing reality, which is why our first intention is our most informed and most valuable intention, and thus, we should lock onto it and end the process at this juncture. But alas, many will not end the decision-making process at the first intention. Rather, they will often, out of curiosity, keep the process going. Here is why. Although we land on a single intention, there are tens, often hundreds of intentions that are abandoned in the decision-making process. Not only this, but all of these decisions have their own levels of appeal, and some may have been more appealing than the first intention generated by our DPU. Ergo, many of us will abandon our first and best intention to further explore the allure of those intentions that were not validated by our DPU. Now, I am quite sure all of you have been here before. To wit, you landed on a decision, but you struggled to pull the trigger and act because there were other options you were truly interested in, and you wanted to take a second look at those options. It could be something as simple as picking a new vehicle, buying a new home, or even deciding what to have for breakfast. Making a decision when there are multiple seemingly good options is difficult. And many times we second guess ourselves in these scenarios even after a decision has already been made. Now, when we do this for trivial matters, there's no exemplary spiritual science that takes place as I understand it. However, when we follow this path for matters pertaining to the Father's will, there is not only a science, but there is also a great danger. To wit, we progress from the phase of the first intention to the most violent and volatile phase of any internal process known to man. Enter your personal congress. The role of your personal congress. Now, by definition, your personal congress is a cordial forum where all the constituents who are tied to your decision-making process convene to examine your first intention and to determine if this is, in fact, the most desired intention. Here lies the problem. Many problems, actually. First and foremost, the purpose of your personal congress is not to determine the best intention and the best interest of the body. Quite the contrary, it is formed to determine the most desired intention. This speaks to the treacherous nature of the heart and why it will often reject the first intention, even though it is the best intention and in the best interest of the body. Consider this, my friends, and be advised. Even though your first intention is the best intention, your heart will often refuse to follow it for the simple yet dangerous fact that your first intention from a physical, i.e., carnal perspective, is not the most desirable path to be taken. And this, my friends, is the backdrop of your personal congress. It is the primary reason why one is formed. That is, to overturn the best decision you could have made. It is to overrule a natural process by ignoring our truest needs in favor of our worst desires. Now, the question we should chiefly entertain is this: how is a decision made to convene a personal congress? The answer is short, and we can find it by analyzing the detailed rendering of your heart at this juncture. Per the image to the right, your thought alignment centers are the source of your personal Congress. It begins with these centers feeding into your character and your treasure. Along these lines, if either alignment center determines that the intent formed by your DPU is not aligned with your character and or your desires and or your treasure, it will call a personal Congress. And trust me, if you have not unlocked the powers of faith and obedience, there is a very good chance that your first intention will not be aligned with your character and or your desires and or your treasure. Here lies the problem, specifically as it pertains to your physical thought alignment center. Vis-a-vis, this faculty is fed by a zone of chaos. Ergo, it has a chaotic nature. Not only this, but the chaos that feeds into your physical alignment center also feeds into your character. Here lies the danger and the inflection, and I ask you to consider it carefully. Everyone who has been infected by the spiritual disease of contempt has a character that is in part chaotic. Now, this may sound unusual, but I assure you it is true. Just consider some of the people in your life, those you have known intimately for many years, not your casual acquaintances. Now, consider how many of these individuals have shown you a chaotic side of their character at least once. If you're like me, then you've seen chaos at least once in everyone's life, including your own. The reason why is sure, and I'll offer it as our next inflection point on this topic. Your personal Congress is a violent association made up of delegates with very different goals that includes your experience and your emotions, to wit, actors who were involved in generating the first intention. Now, needless to say, your experience will urge you to do what is in the best interest of the body due to the lessons you have learned from the past. Ergo, your experience will not be the one calling for the personal Congress. Quite the contrary, your experience will be the one who must defend the initial intention from being overridden by some of the worst actors within your heart. Re-enter your emotions. Along these lines, your personal Congress includes more than 30 diverse emotions, each one with their own agenda, and each one vying to wield a majority influence on the direction your heart should take in the formulation of an intention. Now, I could invest the time in making a case for every emotion and how they contribute to the chaotic nature of your personal Congress. But why? All you have to do is ask yourself a very simple question, vis-a-vis, how productive would a Congress be if it were filled with rage, terror, grief, loathing, hate, disgust, sadness, anger, and fear? Exactly. It wouldn't be very productive at all. It would be a very intense and deadly game of tug of war. Now, despite this fact, it is important to note that the emotions that participate in your personal Congress are governed by a single entity within your inner heart. And yet, this reality does not automatically make this entity a bad actor. Trust me, managing 30 plus complex emotions is a difficult task, especially when you consider how more than half of these emotions are harmful and negative in nature. Nevertheless, this is the assignment this particular actor has been given. And as a primary governor within your heart, he or she also participates in the personal Congress. Enter your character. We'll discuss this actor in the next podcast as we conclude this miniseries on the generation of intentions. Yahuwah bless you until then. Now, here is the final word. If you value the lessons you have learned in your past, make sure your first intention is your last. Brothers and sisters, hear me carefully as I say, one of the worst things you could ever do is ignore your first intention and allow a personal congress of your most twisted and vile emotions to sway you into following a path that even your heart is not prepared to travel. Think about that for a moment. Your heart, which the scriptures reveal is desperately wicked and sick, has a point that even it won't go beyond. Look here. There are lines that even your heart, your wicked heart, will not even travel. They won't even cross. And so, it uses the power of your DPU to weed out all your worst intentions, revealing the real issue isn't really your heart. Quite the contrary, it's the bad actors within your heart and the complex nature of the environment, which we analyzed in prior podcasts. Heretofore, I recommend that you trust your instincts and hold fast to your first intention. For if you allow your twisted desires to get involved, you will fall prey to your worst inventions. Now, here is today's assignment. Meditate on all the lessons you have heard this week and ask the Father to give you clarity on anything you are struggling to receive. And if you are led, please feel free to reach out to me. You can fill out a form on our website and let us know what questions you have. And remember, the only question that can truly hurt you is the one you fail to ask. Last but not least, enjoy the upcoming Shabbat and the weekend, and be ready to get back at it next week as we continue to make our calling and election sure in pursuit of the precious and priceless seal of Elohim. Now, here is what's next. We completed today's podcast, End Times 408, The Generation of Intentions, Part 3. And the next podcast is entitled, End Times 409, The Generation of Intentions, Part 4. I will post this podcast on Monday, January 27, 2025. Until then, my friends, continue to be led by the Spirit of Elohim. Continue to watch, continue to pray, continue in fasting, and most of all, continue to be focused, for the end is coming. The end is near.